Okay, we're beginning here by the two dots on the top of Kufchet Amud Aleph. The Mishnah tells us that there's a machloki between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and the Chachamim, where Rabbi Yossi Aglili tells us, Ashuchet Bifnim Vehela Bachutz. Someone does Shechita Bifim and then does the Hela Bachutz, then he's Chayav. But Shachat Bachutz, Vehela Bachutz, Patur. If he does the Shechita Bachutz, which already makes it Pasul, then he does Hela Bachutz, he's Patur. Shuloi Hela, Ela Davar Pasul. Because what he's doing halah on is no longer something that's relevant to the Kodesh. Amru lo, Chamim disagree and say, Afa shochet bifnim, umaleh b'chutz, kemen shotzio paslom. That once you do shchita bifnim, and then you take it out, it already became pasul. And if he's maleh b'chutz, kemen shotzio paslom. Once he took it out, it became pasul. So that is the claim of the Chachamim, neged Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. The Gemara here wants to understand how Rabbi Yossi HaGlili is going to respond to that position of the Chachamim. So, Heshiv Rabbi Tachad Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. Rabbi spoke up on behalf of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. Mala Shochet Bifnim Umale Bachutz. When it comes to Shechita Bifnim Umale Bachutz, Shaita Lahu Shata Kosher. Over there, there was a point in time where it was Ra'ui L'Mizbeach. Tomar B'Shochet Bachutz Umale Bachutz Shaita Lahu Shata Kosher. How can you compare that to a case where you had Shechita Bachutz and Halah Bachutz, where there was never a point in time where it was Ra'ui L'Mizbeach? So Rabbi claims that Rabbi Yossi HaGlili can say to the Chachamim, the comparison that you're making is not a fair comparison. You're telling me that, just like someone who does Shechita Bifnim and then takes it out, and then is Male Bachutz, that he is Chayav, so too someone is Shochet Bachutz. And Male Bachutz should also be Chayav, because in both those instances you ended up with a Psul before the Hala Bachutz. Rabbi says you can differentiate between the cases, because in the case of Shechita Bifnim, there was a point in time where it was Ra'ui L'Mizbeach, and then Hotzio, then he took it out. And that's what disqualified it. But there was a point in time Ra'ui L'Mizbeach. Therefore, when you do the Halah B'chutz, that already makes it that you are Chayav. In our case, with the scenario that Rabbi Yossi HaGlili suggests that there is no Halah B'chutz, there it never had a Shata Kosher. It started B'Shechita B'chutz, which is Pasul, and then ended up Halah B'chutz. So in that case, maybe it would not be Chayav. That would be the response that Rabbi Yossi HaGlili would have to Chachamim. Heishiv Rabbi Lazar b'Rabbi Shimon tachad Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. Lazar Rabbi Shimon, on behalf of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, answered, Mala shochet bifnim umale b'chutz, shein kodesh mekabelo. That's because someone who does shchita bifnim, and then male b'chutz, mean that the shchita, once it's taken out, yotze, still has an ability to be put on the mizbeach, which is kodesh mekabelo. This is the terminology that we've seen in the Masechta, imala lo yared. If it goes on the mizbeach, it won't come off. One of the items that we saw that has that din is yotze, something that leaves the Azara, or something that leaves Yerushalayim, and those are the demarcations on which it must be kept. If it leaves and then comes back, l'chatchila, you can't put on Mizbeach. But b'diavad, if it ends up on the Mizbeach, HaKodesh Mikablo, Kodesh accepts it. That means that it is, in a sense, Ra'ui Bifnim, because it could end up on the Mizbeach. So again, Mishochet Bifnim, and then Hotzio, that is still Ra'ui L'Mizbeach, because if it ends up in the Mizbeach, it's not coming off. Therefore, when you're Maleh B'chutz, you're going to be Chayav. Tomar B'Shochet B'chutz, Shein Kodesh Mikablo. If you do Shechita B'chutz, nobody thinks that that animal that ends up on the Mizbeach is Lo Yered. It is Yered. It'll be taken off the Mizbeach. And therefore, it will not qualify to be Chayav for Maleh B'chutz, because it's not Ra'ui, the Mizbeach Bifnim. My Benayu, what's the Nafkamina between these two positions? Amar Ze'iri, Shechitat Laila Ika Benayu. Shechita at night is a differentiation between them. That is because Shechita Balayla never had a Shata Kosher. Shechita Balayla is Pasul. And if you do Shechita Balayla, the Korban was never Kasher, never Ra'ui to go on the Mizbeach. On the other hand, Im Allah Lo Yered. That's one of the items that mentioned by the Mishnah in the Shita of Rabbi Shimon before, that if you do Shechita Balayla, and then it's put on the Mizbeach, B'diavad, then Lo Yered, it is not taken off the Mizbeach. So that's one differentiation. According to one who says Shata Kosher, there was no Shata Kosher v'Shechita Balayla. One who says that Kodesh Mikablo, this is something that Kodesh is Mikablo. Rabba Amar, Kabbalah b'klichol ike b'inayu. Kabbalah in a utensil, it's not a klisharet, that's a nafkamina between them. Once again there, Kabbalah b'klichol was never had a Shata Kosher. That's never dam that's going to end up in the Mizbeach. That's not a kosher Kabbalah because it ended up in a klichol. So for that reason, it is not qualified to be chayav for Maleh B'chutz, because it is pasul meikaro. On the other hand, with regards to kodesh mikabelo, if this item ends up in the mizbeach by mistake, or b'di'avad, then imala lo yireit. It won't come off the mizbeach. It will be kosh mikablo. For that reason, you should be chayav for male bachutz. So those are nafgaminot between these two ta'amim over here. What the Balei Tosfot point out, it's a long Balei Tosfot over here, is that this is only true according to Shitat Rabbi Shimon. If you remember earlier in the Masechta, we're going to bump into it again later in the Masechta, that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda disagree as to what is considered to be Kodesh Mikabalo, or what items Imala Lo Yireit. Some of those nafgamino between them are Shchitat Lailo, which in Rabbi Shimon's view, Imala Lo Yireit, if it goes on the Zbech, it doesn't come off. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Shchitat Lailo is one of the three things that if they are Allah, Yireit, it will come off of the Mizbeach. That's one difference. And then also here, Kabbalah B'Klei Chol, as the Balei Tosfot put down, is the equivalent of Nishpach Dama, which again, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda argue about. Rabbi Shimon says, Imalah lo yireit. And Rabbi Yehuda says over there, Imalah yireit. So what the Balei Tosfot pointed out, is that this is only according to Shitat Rabbi Shimon, not according to Shitat Rabbi Yehuda. So that does present a problem, because why is the Gemara setting it up in cases like this, when, as the Balei Tosfot will point out, we could come up with scenarios or cases that would actually fit into the position of Rabbi Yehuda? So the Balei Tosfot speculate, that Shema Agav Denakte Rabbi Ziri Bisof Pirkin. At the end of the Perek, Rabba and Ziri bring these nafkuminot, Kabe Plugto de Rabbi Shimon Rabbonon. They bring it in a situation or a scenario where there's Machlok Rabbi Shimon Rabbonon. Shkitat Laila Kabbalah Kli Bechol, because there it's the Shitat Rabbi Shimon, and that's why it's a nafkumino over there. So Naktai Nami Hochi. That's why they were lifted and brought over here. So what Tosfot is suggesting is that these are really borrowed positions. These are positions that are mentioned by Rabba and Ziri later on in the Perek. They're not necessarily said about our case, but the Gemara brings them here about our case, lifts them out of the other sugya and brings them over here. Since it's lifting them out of sugya that's dealing with Rabbi Shimon, it brings over these cases here, and yes, they are only relevant according to Rabbi Shimon. You could have come up scenarios for Rabbi Yehuda. It didn't do that just because it was bringing Rabba and Ziri from later in the Perek. The other position that Rabbi Tosafot takes, B'Shema the Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that even though Rabbi Yehuda's miftah mishum de ain kodesh mikabalo, hainuk she ain kodesh mikabalo machmat psul acher milvad psul ze sheyatza lochutz ve'elau. So he suggests here that the shita of Rabbi Yehuda might be differentiated with regards to male bachutz, which is kodesh mikabalo. And that is that when we say that kodesh is mikabalo, which is imala lo yereid, that is a machloka that we have between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda's position over there, we know. But that may not always influence his decision with regards to male bachutz. And that is because what Tosafot points out over here, the ein mekodesh kabalo hainu, that qualification, that determination, is only relevant because she ein kodesh mekabalo machmat psul acher milvad psul ze sheyatza lachutz. It is only when there is a psul beyond the psul of yotze, ve'elau, and then you put on the mizbeach. Because obviously, shchutei chutz and hala bachutz involve yotze. And so that can't be where Kodesh Mikabalo is the test. Kodesh Mikabalo is only a test when there's some other psul here besides that of Yotzei. And for that reason, he says, then you can understand the Mishnayot later on that are Mechayev, Akometz, and Livona, and Akhtarat Minchat Kohanim, Shalan Bechutz, Afal Gav, that we believe that according to Rabbi Yosef Lili, Minachot are Imalu, Yerdu, and Nichsachim Abayim Mezevach. Everybody says, Yerdu. All of those, when you're Maleh Bechutz, you are Chayav. So, that could be an explanation for why there's a differentiation. Even though you believe Imalah, in those cases, Yereid, nevertheless, because the psul there is here is a psul of Yotze, that's not going to be enough to disqualify him in this case, because that test of Kodesh Mikablo is not on Yotze. It's on every other psul that could be over here. And he says, similarly over here, therefore, he believes that Rabbi Yehuda does argue on these two positions over here, but he does say that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't always have the test of Kodesh Mikabalo, because if the psul here is only Yotze, that would not disqualify it according to Rabbi Yehuda, even though according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's Nimala Yereid, that's not going to change the dynamic over here, and you would be Chayav in those cases. The instances that we mentioned here, where there's another psul, like Shchita Balayla, or there's a problem of Kleichol, there, since it's another variable that is Pasul, then we have the test of Kodesh Mikabalo. So that's just to know or be aware of the fact that this sugya is according to Rabbi Shimon, not according to Rabbi Yehuda. Although the Sfat Emet does make a suggestion here that is exactly the machloket between Rabbi and Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, in the explanation or in speaking on behalf of Rabbi Yossi Haglili. And that is, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon holds like his father, Rabbi Shimon, and therefore he brings as the test, Kodesh Mikabalo. On the other hand, Rabbi holds like Rabbi Huda, that those things are not Kodesh Mikabalo, and therefore he brings the test as Shata Kosher. So he thinks that that's exactly the Nafkamino between them. And therefore when the Gemara here brings Nafkaminot, they're not really Nafkaminot in the sense of Nafkaminot between Rabbi and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. These are Nafkaminot between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon. Because Rabbi's position is in the position of Rabbi Huda, and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon is in the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. So that's the way the Sfatamet deals with it. But the Baalei Tosafot believe that that's not the case, and that they both are speaking within the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. That's what he says at the beginning, the Chora Rabbi, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Sabreik, Rabbi Shimon. They both hold like Rabbi Shimon, unless you say like the Baalei Tosafot said over here, the reason they brought these Nafkaminot over here is because it was lifted out of a different sugya that was a Libra to Rabbi Shimon. But in Okanami, that's not necessarily what Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi argued about. For Rabbi Huda, they could argue about a different point, and you could have brought those as the examples of the Nafkaminot between them. Right now we move on to the next piece in the Mishnah, which is a similar scenario that doesn't really belong here, but is in the Mishnah because it's a similar genre of argument between Rabbi Yossi Haglili and the Chachamim, which is Hatamei Shachal, Evei Tamei, someone who's Tamei Tumato Guf, that ate Kodesh, whether the Kodesh was Tamei or the Kodesh was Tahor, Chayav Karet for that. Rabbi Yossi Haglili once again disagrees and says, Tamei Shachal Tahor, if the Tamei eats Tahor, then he's Chayav Karet. Tamei Shachal Tamei, on the other hand, if he's Tamei Tumato Guf and he ate Basar Tamei, he is Patur. Shelo Achal Ela Davar Tamei. He ate something Tamei, he didn't eat Kodesh, and therefore he's not subject to the punishment of Karet. Once again, the Chachamim say to him, Amrulo, Av Tamei Shachal Et Tahor. Even if Tamei is eating Tahor, Kevin Shenagabo Temau. Once he touches it, it becomes Tamei, and therefore Tamei, that ate Tamei, should also be Chayav, because just like a Tamei that eats Tahor, makes it Tamei before he eats it, it's a similar scenario. So that's a similar case to what we saw before with regards to Shvut Echut. And on that, the Gemara says, what is the machloke between them? Or in essence, what is Rabbi Yossi Haglili's response to the Chachamim? Shapir Kamalei Rabbanon Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Once again, the Chachamim have a good claim against Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Amar Rova. So Rova now explains that the machloke between them is about Isser Chal Al Isur. Whether once you have one Isur, can you then have an additional Isur that's placed on top of that? So Amar Rova, Kohecha Din Nitma Tumato Guf. If he was first Tamei Tumato Guf, Vachar Kach Nitba Basar, and then the Basar becomes Tamei after that fact, the Kulei Amalo Plige, the Chayav. Everybody agrees in that case that you are a Chayav. Shekain, Tumato Guf Bekaret. Because Tumato Guf already was a Chiyuv Karet before anything happened. And that's really Rabbi Yossi Haglili's answer to the question over here, which is, when you have a Tamei, Tumat Aguf, that's eating Tahor, and then he makes the object Tamei, that doesn't change anything. If you're already Chayav for the Isur of Tumat Aguf, with relationship to that Basar that is Basar Tahor, then that Isur doesn't disappear just because the Basar became Tamei. Even though we don't believe Isur Chal Al Isur, but the Isur of Tumah can't take away the first Isur, which was a Tumat Aguf, which was a Chiyuv Karet. And so therefore, even Rabbi Yossi Haglili in that case is going to agree that it is Chayav Karet, and that's why he's going to agree with the Chachamim, that if a Tamei takes Tahor and makes it Tamei, that will still be Chayav Chiyuv Karet. Keep Lige. Where is there a Machloket? Kishinitma Basar V'achar Kach Nitma Aguf, where the Basar became Tamei first, and then only afterwards was there Tamei Tumat Haguf. And that is the last line in the Mishnah. The last line in the Mishnah is someone who's Tahor, that eats Basar Tamei, is not Chayav Karet. There's a Lav, but there's no Chiyuv Karet. So over here, when he starts out, there's an Isser Lav associated with a Tahor, who's eating Basar Tamei, or Kobasar Kodesh, that is Tamei. Then, after that, he becomes Tamei, now he has Tumat Haguf. Question is, can you say Isser Chalal Isser over here? Can we add on the Isser of Tumat Haguf to make him Chayav Karet? Machlok between them is there Isser Chalal Isser? The Rabbanan Savrei Migo. Migo, that this is an Isser Kolel over here, which is now, not only is he Asur vis-a-vis this piece of Basar that is there, he's also Asur in other pieces of Basar that were Tahorim before this. So until this point in time, this individual was Tahor. He has Basar Kodesh that's Tamei, and Basar Kodesh that is Tahor. Basar Kodesh that was Tahor, until this point, he could have eaten. The Basar Tamei, he could not have eaten. Now, when he has Tumat Aguf, not only is he also Asur, like he was before, in the Basar Tamei, Now he's also asur in the basar tahor that he could have eaten beforehand. If that's the case, that's called an isur kolel. It's where now the isur includes more items than that were asur in the original isur. In the original isur, there was only a relationship of isur with regards to him and the basar tameh. Now with tumat guf, that relationship of isur has expanded not just to this basar, but to all basar kodesh. So now, migo, that the isur is chal for his relationship with all basar kodesh tahor, so too it's chal on this basar tameh, and therefore it's isur chal al isur because of isur kolel. And according to the chachamim, you're going to be chayav karet. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, savar lo amin amigo. Even by isur kolel, he does not say isur chal al isur. Rabbi Yossi, nehi demigo lo amrina. Okay, maybe Rabbi Yossi believes that ain't isur chal al isur by isur kolel. Teite tumat guf dechamira. But he does have a principle of isur chal al isur when it's an isur chamur. Tochol al tumat basar. And therefore it should be chal al tumat basar. So now, Rabbi Yossi Aglili's basic position is ein isur chal al isur. Chachamim say by an isur kolel, which makes it into an unusual isur, where the isur now expands to include other objects, that allows isur to be chal al isur. Had it not been for the isur kolel, even the Chachamim would agree ein isur chal al isur. But now you have an isur kolel, and that includes other items. Migo, that includes the other items, it includes the basar tameh. That's the Chachamim's view. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says even in that scenario, ein isur chal al isur. But that's all predicated on the fact that the isurim are of an equal level. That means that the isur that you're speaking about originally and the isur now that is coming into effect are on the same level. But Rabbi Yossi Aglili agrees that if the second isur is more chamur than the first isur, it will take effect. Now, we know from our Mishnah and from the Psukim in Parshat Tzav that a tahor that eats tumat basar is only chayav a lav. Whereas someone who's tamei tumat a guf that eats basar, that's going to be chayav koreit. So that's a more chamur isur. So if there's a more chamur isur, it should be chal, even though generally ain isur chal al isur. But here where it's an isur kolel, that has a greater chumrah with regards to the second isur, that should make it that it's chal, even according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili. So Rav Ashi, that's not so clear cut here. Mimai to tumat aguf chamura. Why is it so obvious to you that tumat aguf is more chamur? Now the reason we were saying that it's more chamur is pretty straightforward. Tumat aguf involves a chiyuv karet. Tumat basar includes only a chiyuv lav. Now, of course, you would think that's more chamur. But he says, maybe that's not the case. Dilma tumat basar chamura, shkein amla tara b'mikvit. Because the difference between tumat basar and tumat aguf is the permanence of the isur. By tumat basar, the isur is permanent. There's no way to remove the isur from the basar. Once it's tamei, basar kodesh is tamei, it's tamei permanently. Now then, someone has tumat aguf, he goes to the mikveh, he'll no longer have tumat aguf, he can remove the tumah. So it's only temporary tumah, it's only a temporary problem. Since it's a passing problem, maybe it's not as chamur as tumat basar, despite the fact that in that temporary state, there's a chiyuv karet. But nevertheless, since it is a passing isur, maybe it's not an isur chamur, therefore it's not absolutely clear here that you have an isur chamur in the second isur, and that's the machloki between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, I agree with you. If it was tamei tumat aguf, and then afterwards tamei tumat basar, like the chachamim bring in the scenario where the tamei tumat aguf eats the basar tahor by touching it, he makes it tamei and then eats it, he's chayav or karet. That's because the tumat aguf preceded the tumat basar. But the scenario that you want to extrapolate that to is an opposite scenario. It's where tumat basar was there first, and now you want to add on tumat aguf. That you can't do because that's isur chalal isur. And in isur chal isur, even if it's an isur kolel, maybe here Rabbi Yossi Aglili would agree because it's an isur chamor. Rabbi Ashi dispels that by saying that it's not necessarily an isur chamor, and therefore Rabbi Yossi Aglili believes that it's an isur chal isur. And so you can't extrapolate from a tamei tumat aguf that eats basar tahor that makes it tamei when he's eating it to a case where it's tumat basar, and then afterwards you have tamei tumat aguf. Whereas the chachamim say you can't extrapolate because isur kolel makes it that isur chal isur. And so therefore they believe that the two scenarios are similar in nature. Okay, now we move on to the next Mishnah. Chomer b'shchita mi ba'aliyah, u'ba'aliyah mi b'shchita. Till now we've been speaking about the two parshiot, which is shchita b'chutz and ala b'chutz. This Mishnah contrasts the two of them. It says that there are differences between them. Rashi later on today's daf is going to point out that these are the sole differences between them. Anything else that is a limud that we have by one of them, we're going to apply to the other one with the exception of those that are mentioned in this Mishnah. So that means, if you'll see later today, we're going to learn a din that we only find by Shkita B'chutz. We're actually going to say automatically that goes to Allah B'chutz as well. So now, Chomer B'Shkita B'Aliyah, the Chomer B'Shkita from Halah is Sheshochet Lehejot Chayav. Someone who does a Shkita Lehejot is Chayav. Now, Shkita Lehejot, Rashi calls La'achilat Hejot. It's not that you're worshipping the Hejot. Someone that you're doing a Shkita in order to eat it. V'amale Lehejot, on the other hand, someone does Halah Lehejot is Patur. Now, obviously, you can't explain Halah Lehejot the way Rashi explains Shkita Lehejot. Shkita Lehejot, he said that meant that you were doing it for the purpose of a Hejot eating. You can't say over here by Halah B'chutz that you're doing it for the purpose of a Hejot. There's no purpose that a Hejot would have with a Halah. So over here you have to say that Halah, the Hejot, means that you are being makriv the Korban to this individual. You're doing Halah to the individual that is the recipient of your worship. And Rashi over here makes a distinction therefore, and he says, Mishum Halat Chutz V'chayav Mishum Avodat Kochavim. In the end, you are going to be chayav for Avodah Zarah, because through your bringing this Korban, the Hejot, you are now in violation of Avodah Zarah. V'hi mezid, be'avodat kochavim, v'shagag balat chutz. If he did it intentionally, meaning that he intended to worship this individual, and then it was a shagaga, with regards to the fact that it was Allah b'chutz, enum avia shagagato chatat. There's going to be no chatat for the shogeg over here, because of the fact that the mezid is associated with Avodah Zarah, worshipping the Hejot, and the Shkaga is associated with the Halah Lehejot. And that Halah Lehejot is not qualified to make you Chayav for Halah B'chutz. The Gemara is going to bring proof to this. Now, the Balei HaTosafot disagree with Rashi and say that does not have to be the scenario over here. The Tosafot is not found here, it's found on the Amud Bet. And there, Tosafot says, U'bichinam dachak atzmo kunchus. That the Rashi pressed himself to come up with this scenario, and it wasn't necessary. Just because you're makriv for another person, that doesn't make you an oved avodah zarah. There's no intent to do it for avodah zarah. His sole purpose in bringing this is lichvod his friend. He's doing this as an honor for his friend. He's doing this as some sort of dedication to his friend. And in that way, it's not necessarily avodah zarah. The Tosafot does not see this as Malei LeHejot, like Rashi does over here, as being worshipping the Hejot, and in essence, a problem of Avodah Zarah. And what Rashi basically says is you have to separate the issue of Avodah Zarah from the issue of Halah B'chutz. So as far as Avodah Zarah is concerned, this guy is in trouble, because he is doing Avodat Kochavim. As far as Halah B'chutz, he's going to be Patur, at least from the Korban Chatat, if he is a Shogeg with regards to the Halah B'chutz. Whereas Tosafot says that the Halah Hejot is not a Avodah Zarah at all. And the reason you're Patur over here is because you're doing it Hejot, you're doing the Chvod Hejot, and the Psukim again will dictate to us why you are Patur by that type of Halah. As opposed to Shechita, when you do the Hejot, where you're going to be Chayav, Halah B'chutz, you're not going to be Chayav when you do it the same Hejot. As the Menchat Chinuch points out over here, there is a distinction between that which takes place Bifnim and that which takes place B'chutz. Bifnim, the context is Lashem. And therefore, even if you have a machshavat stam, the shchita, or machshavat stam, the hala'a, we're going to assume that the shchita is Lashem, and we're going to assume that the hala'a is Lashem. And in that way, you are mekayim the mitzvah. On the other hand, in the context of chutz, it's not automatically that you're doing it Lashem. And the necessity to be classified as shchita chutz, or hala'a b'chutz, means that you have to do a shchita l'shem Hashem b'chutz, or you have to do a hala'a L'shem Hashem b'chutz. And so now the Chiddush here is, and he brings this from the Lashon HaRambam, which is that the Shechita b'chutz, even though you do it L'shem Hejot, you're still Chayav, despite the fact that you didn't do it L'shem Hashem. And that's why it's a Chiddush here, that it's telling you, despite the fact that you didn't do it L'shem Hashem, you're still Chayav. Now by the case of Hala'a, we understand why you're Patur, because you did it L'shem Hejot, and you didn't do it L'shem Hashem. And so then you don't have Halah B'chutz. The same should have been true by Shechita, that it's not considered to be Shechita L'Hashem, because you did a Shechita L'Hejot. That's the Chiddush of the Psukim that come to teach you that despite the fact that you didn't do it L'Hashem, and you did it L'Hejot, it's still a problem here by Shechita B'chutz. Now that might be a distinction that derives from the difference of Shechita and Halah, because the Shechita here is being done on Kodoshim. So you're doing shchitat kudoshim b'chutz, and so by definition, the shchita is a shchita of kudoshim. On the other hand, by the case of halav b'chutz, even if you classify them as kudoshim, the fact that you're doing it in the wrong location makes it that you need to actively say that you're doing it l'Hashem, otherwise we're not going to suppose that. And that might actually explain the difference between why by shchita, if you do it l'Hashem ejot, you're still chayav, because you're shechting kodoshim b'chutz. That's practically what you're doing. But by the case of halah, even though you're doing halah of kodoshim b'chutz, that's not meaningful in any way because there's no concept of halah b'chutz. There is a concept of shchita b'chutz, the shchita tchulin. So there, when you do shchita on kodoshim, you've done shchita b'chutz. The other hand, when you do halah b'chutz, there's no concept of halah b'chutz. And therefore, when you're ma'aleh, you have to do it l'shem Hashem in order to be classified as halah b'chutz. And without that, it will be classified as halah l'hejot and be patur. So that would maybe even explain the difference in the limur, the gzeret ha-katuv, that there's a difference between shchita and halah. So now the Mishnah continues and says the opposite way around. Chomer ba'aliyah, maybe shchita, the chomer of halah over shchita is shnaim shachzu b'sakin v'shachato p'turim. You have two people who shech the animal b'chutz, shechida b'chutz is not chayav when you have two parties involved. Achazo be'aver ve'alo, if two people grab onto an aver and then put on the mizbeach, chayavim, they are chayav. So here is the chumrah by halah, that shnaim she'asu by halah are going to be chayavim, shnaim she'asu b'shechita are going to be p'turim. Hela v'chazar v'hela, if a person does halah, and then another Allah, v'chazar v'Allah, and then a third Allah, chayav akol aliyah divrei Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, each Allah is a violation of halat b'chutz. V'yosi yomer, enu chayav ela achat. You're only chayav for one. V'enu chayav ad she'aleh l'rosh mizbeach. And you're also only chayav when you put it onto a mizbeach. So Rabbi Yossi says, first of all, you only chayav once, even though you're doing multiple halot. Number two is, the only way you're going to be chayav for halat b'chutz is if you do it on a mizbeach. It has to be, again, a context in the chutz that makes you chayav for halah b'chutz. Shimon Omer, afilu halah ala sela o ala evin chayav. You don't need a mizbeach, you just need either a rock or a stone, and that'll be sufficient to make you chayav. It has to be some sort of platform, but it doesn't have to be a full-fledged mizbeach in order for it to be chayav for halah b'chutz. So now Gemara is going to go through our Mishnah and try to understand the reasoning for these distinctions. Why is it that someone who does halah lehejot, which is the chumrah by shchita, or he said shchita lehejot is chayav, but halah lehejot is patur, what's the difference? So why by halah lehejot are you patur? Dichtiv. Because by halah it says lahashem. And lahashem means only when you do it lahashem is it problematic, but if you do it l'shem hejot, it's not going to be problematic. And that is the pasuk at the end of the parshia Maaleh b'chutz, which is petach umoed lo yivienu, lasot oto lahashem, v'nichvat ha'ishayi me'amav. That person will get karet. So b'shchita nami k'tiv lahashem. Wait a minute. The word lahashem also appears by shchutei chutz, which is el petach umoed lo havio, lakriv korban lahashem. So if your reasoning is Lashem, Lashem appears in both of these parshiot. So that can't be the reason. Now it's different there, because by Shchita b'chutz it says, Damakra, Ish, Ish. So that's the beginning of the parshia of Shchutei Chutz. It says, Ish, Ish mi Beit Yisrael, Ashe Yishchat, Shor HaKesev O'ez b'machaneh. Oh, Ashe Yishchat, Mechutz l'machaneh. So there, it uses the terminology ish, ish, and the way that Rashi interprets it, ish, ish, lavi, ish, shechashachat, ish, to include a case where a person does a shchita for another ish. That's the duplication of the term ish, ish. So Gemara again here says, gabay Allah, namiktiv ish, ish. Why does that help you? The terminology ish, ish also appears by Allah b'chutz, which says, v'aleem tomar, ish, ish, mi beit yisro, mi meger, ashe yagur b'tocham, ashe yaleh, ula, uzavach. So there's ish, ish there also. It says, "Mibaylei l'shnayim shalu be'aver chayavin." That ish ish in halah b'chutz we're going to use to teach you that if two people shnayim shasu by halat aver, that they're both going to be chayavim. It says, "Iochi," you could do the same thing by shchita. Achenami mibaylei shnayim shachzu b'sakim v'shachato shechayavin. Why don't you say the ish ish by shchita teaches you the same thing? The two people who do shchita together should be chayavin for shchita chutz. It says, "Shani hotam The Amakra, Hahu. It uses the specific term Hahu, Echad Velo Shnayim. Because it uses the term Hahu, that's an exclusive term, and that Hahu means only him and no one else. And that's by the case of Shechita. It says, Petach Homei Lo Yivio, Lakrib Korban Hashem, Lifne Mishkan Hashem, Dam Yachashev Leishahu, Dam Shavach, Nechat Ha'ish, Hahu, Mikerev Homo. Only that individual will be Chayav, meaning only a single individual is Chayav, not when Shnayim Shasu. It says, Yehoche, you have the same problem again. Gabi Allah, Nami Yaptiv Hahu. Also by Allah. In Pasuk Ted, it says, Hahu also. Because it says there, Petach Homei Lo Yivienu, So Ahu also appears over there. So you have an exclusive term. So when it says, we need that Ahu by Allah, to tell you that these cases are not chayav, let's assume here, they're not chayav a chatat in these situations. As Rashi explains over here, that they're darshaning that Ahu, that he is fully aware and engage in what he is doing, and therefore that comes to exclude these three cases, which are not b'haviyato u'bidato. Gemara says, Ihochi, if that's the case, hachanami, mi boyle mute anus shogeg mute. So too, by the case of shkita b'chutz, you'll need the hahu to exclude these cases to say you're not chayav v'chatat in these scenarios. Gemara says, trehahu, tivei, by the case of shkita, you have the word hahu twice, whereas by halav b'chutz, you only have it once. That is because the pasuk says, "El petach umoed lo evio, akiv korban Hashem lifnei mishkan Hashem, dam yechashev laish hahu." That's the first one. Dam shafach v'nechrat laish hahu. The second one, mikerev amo. So the word hahu appears twice by shechita. Once to tell you that anus muteh and shogeg are excluded. One to tell you that only an individual or a single individual, be chayav shnayim sarasu, are going to be turim. By the case of halav b'chutz, you only have one hahu. That one who is going to exclude the case of Shogeg Anus Umuteh, but then we don't have another additional hahu to tell you that they, Shnayim Se'asu, are Pturim. Therefore, Ish, by the case of Halav B'chutz is going to teach you Shnayim Shehelu are Chayavim, but the Ish by Shechita, you can't say that because you have the miut of hahu, so therefore you're going to use the Ish to teach you over there that Ish, Hamakriv, the Ish Acher, is Chayav. So then, Ve'elol Hashem Lamali. So now once you've done that, the whole limud derives from ish. So then what do you need the word Lashem that is found by Shechita B'chutz? So tzi, seir ha-mishtaleach. To tell you that a seir mishtaleach is not chayav in Shechutei Chutz. And that is because, again, it is not necessarily ra'oi lifnim. Now, as Tosafot points out, this is only after the hagrala. That's only after you do the lottery. Before you do the lottery, both of them are ru'im lepetach olmoi, because either one of them could have been the seir Lashem. You do a Shechutei Chutz, then you are going to be Chayav. After the Hagvala, where we've already determined which one is Lashem and which one is Lazazel, the one that is Lazazel, Laseir Mishtalech, is no longer Ra'ui Lifnim. Therefore, if you do Shechita B'chutz, you're not going to be Chayav. And then Rashi says about that, V'gali B'Shechita, the Torah taught you this by Shechita, V'ua Din L'Hala'a, and that Din is also true by Allah, Dam Migmar Gmirei Mahadodi, because anything that's true by Shechita is true by Allah. And it is true by Allah, it's also true by Shechita. We learn one from the other. Ki da amran le arev parshiot, that there is an eruv parshiot, which is Rabbi Shmuel. Tanit the Rabbi Shmuel we saw yesterday. We're going to see it upcoming in the Gemara as well. Barba anach trei chumrei de matnitan, the exception of the two chumrot of our Mishnah, the mefarshei krai v'kulu, because there they're explicit psukim to tell you otherwise. Ben the chiyuva, ben the Torah. With the exception of those two cases, everything will be learnt one from the other. It's an interesting Rashi, only because the word Lashem also appears, as we noted before, by the case of Hala'a. So, you could have used the Lord Hashem to teach you the same Halotziyat Tasir Mishtalech. That might be what Rashi's referencing to, that the like, just like we learned Hashem over there by the case of Shechita, we're also going to learn Hashem by the case of Hala'a. Well, it seems from Rashi, he thinks that even without that, you could have learned from Hashem that excludes Tasir Mishtalech, Mishkutei Chutz, it would also exclude it from Halab Chutz. It's not one of the distinctions that's mentioned in our Mishnah, or there's no Pasuk to tell you otherwise. Now, the three scenarios that are brought over here are very difficult. The scenarios that we're excluding are Shogeg, Anus, and Muteh. So that means, in these cases, you will not be Chayav Karet. Now, a Shogeg, of course you're not Chayav Karet. The whole point of a Shogeg is you bring a Chatat, and you're not Chayav Karet. So Tosfot asked that question. He says, V'Tema, Lomalikra, the Miftarei Mikaret, Shu Shogeg.
What do I mean? The pasuk tell me you're not chayiv karet when you do a bishogeg. So he said pshita bar korbanu. It's obvious that this individual is chayiv a korban. So yesh lamar desalka datcha amina that you would have thought ilumaiti korban lave bekaret. If you don't bring your korban chatat, that you will be chayiv karet, which is that the Torah offers you an option out of the karet by bringing a korban. It says if you bring the korban v'nislach lo, then you'll be forgiven. That means if you don't bring the korban, you won't be forgiven. If you're not forgiven, then you may be chayav korat. So Tosafot says there's a havamina that by shugeg, if you don't take advantage of bringing the korban, you would be chayav korat. This pasuk comes to dispel that and say there is no chayav korat by shugeg. So that's Tosafot's dealing with shugeg. Anus is another question mark. We have a general principle, anus rachmana patre. Anytime there's a problem of a duress, the person's not chayav when they do something under duress. Over here, it seems to me that they were forced to do this. They were compelled to do this by someone else. So why would you have a havamina that this individual should be chayav karet, that you need a mute over here for that? The Bali Tosafot once again over here, answer, that it is, v'shema ha'anus prat lomer mutar. That's someone who comes to say that it was mutar. It's not an anus or an ones in the sense of that he was compelled or under duress was forced to do it. He did it thinking it was mutar. This is a type of ones that is not exactly ones in the sense of duress. It's just that he didn't know. He thought it was mutar, and so he did something wrong. So again, he did it in his simplistic view of the world. He did this, and he's an anus from that perspective, but he's not really an anus. He's an anus that's yoter karov l'shugeg, and that's the anus that we're speaking about here. Or you have to just say that anus is right here, agav shugeg, that these are items that are usually placed together. In this instance, anus is not necessary because of anus rachmana patre. Nevertheless, it brought her along as part of the grouping, but not because it has any significance in this scenario. That leaves us with the last case, which is muteh, the case where he made a mistake, and that you have to understand what's the difference between shugeg and muteh. So Rashi seems to indicate that the difference between shugeg and muteh is who compelled him to do it. In the case of shugeg, the person does it of his own volition, and he makes a mistake. The case of muteh is where someone else causes him to make the mistake. So in the case of shogeg, it was an unintentional violation of your own volition. Muteh is someone misleads you, and therefore you unintentionally do it wrong. So that's the way Rashi describes the difference between shogeg and muteh, although there are other distinctions that are brought by the Rishonim Achronim over here between shogeg and muteh. That's just to the question of the difficulty of the examples that are brought over here. So now the Gemara continues. Terabanan, ish, ish. So again, we saw here, ish, ish, bahala, matamalomar. What is it coming to teach you by halabachutz? The rabot, shnaim shachusu be'ever, ve'alu. Two people who take an aver, put it on the mizbeach, shechayavim, shechol, halodinu. Isn't it a kal v'chomer, or there'd be a logical reason to argue otherwise? Uma shochet lehejot, someone who does shechita lehejot, shechayav, in that scenario you are chayav, shnaim shachusu be'sakin, other than two people hold a sakin, b'shachato, or turim, because of hahu, that's what we learned before. So in a case where you do shchita lehejot, you're chayav. Case where you do shnaim shochzim b'sakin, you are patur. So then, amale lehejot, patur. Over here, we learned already before that amale lehejot is patur, because we don't have the miut of hahu, because we don't have ish ish available for that limut, and so therefore you are patur. Einu din, shnaim shochzim b'turim. Then certainly two people that are doing the halah should also be pturim. So that would be the logical extension from shchita, tamal omar. That's when the pasuk comes to dispel that logic and say ish ish. Ish ish means that despite that, two people who do this are chayavim, divrei Rabbi Shimon. That is the reasoning behind Rabbi Shimon's position over here as to why shnaim sheh alu are chayavim. Rabbi Yossi omer, hau echad velo shnaim. So just like the Ha'u by Shchitat Chutz was a miut to say only when one person does it are you chayav, when Shnaim do it you're not chayav. So then the Gemara says, Im kein matam alomar ish ish. Then what is he going to do with the ish ish if he believes that ish ish is not relevant? Or you can't say that two who do it are you going to be chayavim. It says, Dibra Torah l'shon b'nei Adam. That's just a stylistic way that the Torah writes. It is not a limud that comes from that. It's just an enhanced type of language that the Torah uses. Now the problem is, Rabbi Shimon, hi hahu, he needed that hahu, like we said before, then we use that hahu to exclude these three cases. Rabbi Yossi says, no problem, mihu, hahu. He says the word hahu could have been written as who. Now that he read it as hahu, gives you two limudim.
Rabbi Shimon, who, ha'hu, lo dorish. He's not dorish that he doesn't think that's a significant enough change to bring two drashot from that word. Rabbi Yossi, midahai ish ish dirak loshon b'nei adam. That's the case that ish ish is dirak loshon b'nei adam here by halabachutz. Then how ish ish nami dirak loshon kishlom b'nei adam. Then the same ish ish that you find by shchutei chutz should also be dirak loshon b'nei adam. The problem now is that we learn from ish ish by shchutei chutz that ish hamakriv the ish is chayav. So now, where does Rabbi Yossi learn that din from? If he thinks ish ish is good dibra Torah k'lashon b'nei adam, k'lashochet lehejot minolei de chayav. Where does he know that from? Nafkalei mitam yechashev laishahu dam shafach. Vafilo shochet leish. He learns it out from the latter part of the pasuk, which is dam yechashev laishahu dam shafach. Even when you do it laishahu to that person, dam yechashev, it'll be classified as dam that was done for the purposes of shchutei chutz, and you will be chayav. So he learns it out from dam yechashev leishahu, dam shafach, v'afilu shochet leish. So now, so the Ritva points out over here that we have a miut by the korban chatat that is mentioned in Parshat Vayikra, general principle by any asiyah that you have by a korban shogeg or korban chatat, that there is a requirement that the asiyah be a asiyah chat by one individual, and not multiple individuals that are involved in this. That shnaim she'asu are not chayavim, which is learned from the Gemara in Shabbat, Tzadi Bed Amud Bet, with regards to asa achat. And there the Gemara learns from that, that it has to be achat below shnaim, when it comes to a shogeg and a chiyuv korban chatat. So why do we need a specific limit over here to tell me that shnaim she'asu are pturim? So the Ritva suggests that that's because, had I not had the miut over here, I would have thought you would extrapolate the din of shchita from halah, just like your chayav over here by halah, and all the other dinin that pass along, so too over here this din would pass from halah to shchita. So the miut by shchita says, don't pay attention to halah over here, don't learn from halah, and put me in the normal rubric of a chatat, which says that shnaim shasu are pturim. Alright, now the Gemara continues with the remainder of the Mishnah, which is halah, v'chazar v'halah. Amarish Lakish. Machloket bedalet vehei evarim. Machloket here is when you have four or five limbs. The mar savar kiki ta'iv lasot oto. If you remember the limo that we had in yesterday's daf, lasot oto was ala shalemu chayav. Veinu chayav ala chaser. You're chayav for something that is whole. You're not chayav for something that is missing. Al kol behemaktiv. That is going on the entirety of the behemah. That's what I mentioned yesterday. We're going to come back to explain what is chaser and what is shalem mean. So according to Reish Lakish, the shalem means the entirety of the behema. The chaser means if you're missing something from the behema. Masavar kol aver ve'averktiv. And the other one holds that it's written about each aver. Aval al aver achat, according with one aver, divya kohen uchayav el achat. Everybody's going to agree in that scenario that you can only be chayav once for halah over there. So now this goes back to, again, the machloket of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah, where Rabbi Yossi says you only chayav achat when you do halah, 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 if you put all these evarim on. So now I'm going to follow the explanation of the Balei Tosafot. It says here, if I put on four or five evarim on the Mizbeach, then only when I put the first evar on the Mizbeach is the behema there still shalem, because I have all the components of the behema still around. And then the person is maleh, the evar on the Mizbeach, that's halah b'chutz. And therefore your chayav for that first halah of the aver on the Mizbeach. The subsequent avarim that you put on the Mizbeach, you're not chayav for because it's already chaser. The first aver that was consumed on the Mizbeach that you put, that already made it a chaser. Once it's a chaser, you can't be chayav for halah b'chutz. That's excluded from the pasuk. Uto means hashalim. It has to be there the entire behema. So for that reason, Rabbi Yossi believes you're only chayav achat, and it's for the first aver that you put on. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon believes that you're chayav al kol aliyah v'aliyah. You're chayav for each halah. That's because he believes hashalem means the entirety of an aver. As long as you put a whole aver on, or there's a whole aver there, then when you do the halah, then you're chayav for that halah. That kazayit that you put on, you're going to be chayav for. What they both agree with is that if you put on a single aver, and you put half of it on, and then half of it later, there you're only going to be chayav achat on the first kazayit that you put on the mizbeach. That's because you need at least the entirety of the aver to be there. Once you've already consumed a portion of the aver, the remainder of the aver is no longer going to be chayav because you've already got an aver chaser. And according to everybody, an aver chaser is problematic. According to Rabbi Yossi, you don't have a whole behemah, so of course you're not chayav. And according to Rabbi Shimon, you don't have a whole aver anymore, so you're not going to be chayav beyond the first zayit that went on the mizbeach. So that's the explanation of the machloket Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, according to Reish Lakish, where the machloket is what is called shalem. Rabbi Yossi believes shalem is the kol behemah, and Rabbi Shimon believes shalem means the entire aver. Now the Baal Tosafot do point out that you have an interesting dilemma over here, which is that in the case of an aver bifnim, if it was then put on the mizbeach one kezayit, there's still a mitzvah to put the remaining kezayitim on the mizbeach. So why shouldn't you be chayav b'chutz when you put the second kezayit of the aver on the mizbeach? Just like bifnim, you'd have a chiyuv of aktara. How come this doesn't obligate you b'chutz? So he says, b'yesh lomar, one answer that is, tahad b'chayev laktir akol. The reason you have to be maktir the entire aver bifnim is, lam nishum devei chashuv haktara b'chatzi aver. That's not because the remaining haktara is classified as haktara, nishum dekula achad haktara hi. That's because you have to continue the haktara that you began. Kevin sheyitchil ba'gomer. Since you started this haktara, you gotta finish it up. And when you finish it up, you're just fulfilling the original haktara of putting this item on the mizbeach. Rashi, on the other hand over here, explains that when it says al kol beima, it literally means al kol beima, and that Rabbi Yossi is only mechayev when you put the entire beima on the mizbeach. If you don't get the entire beima on the mizbeach, you're not going to be chayav. And that's what he means, that you're chayav one. One is for the entirety of the animal that you bring on. And the four or five evarim are not four or five evarim. It means four or five evarim that make up the entirety of the beima, and therefore you're only going to be chayav on the last aver that you put on, because that completes the entire beima if you put on mizbeach, unlike the Balei Tosafot, think you're chayav on the first aver that you put on, the first zayit that you put on. Whereas for Rabbi Shimon, you're chayav, a chatat, on each aver shalem that you put on the mizbeach. Each one of the zevarim will cause you to be chayav, because the shlemut that you require is a shlemut of an aver. Then, when the Gemara says, according to Reish Lakish, the Divrei HaKol, Eino Chayav Ela Chatat Achat, when it comes to putting up a partial aver on the Mizbeach, so for Rashi, he'll explain that easily in the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, who says that you need an aver shalem, so even Rabbi Shimon will agree you need a full aver, and putting up a partial aver will not be sufficient. Only once you've completed the aver are you Chayav. Unlike the Baal Tosafot thinks you're Chayav for the first Kezayit, and not the remainder, Rashi says you'll only be chayav for the last kezayit when you put on the full aver on the mizbeach. The problem Rashi has is, how does that work for Divrei HaKol, for him in the shita of Rabbi Yossi? Because Rabbi Yossi says you need the kol ha-behema. So Rashi says over here that it must be one of two scenarios. Either a scenario where this aver is the last aver of the behema going on the mizbeach, or it's a case where the averim of this entire behema were on the mizbeach, and then portion of it was popped off the mizbeach. That portion that popped off, you're now being makriv on the mizbeach as chaser b'chutz, then even Rabbi Yossi is going to agree in that scenario that you are chayav for that ha'alah. But then we have an alternate view, which is that view of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan mar makloki be'aver achad. They argue about a single aver. The marsav mukterei pnim shechasro. If you have things that are put on mizbeach internally, that then portion of it was consumed, or portion of it popped off the mizbeach, so then, if you halah b'chutz, you're chayav, because there's a requirement to return it to the mizbeach, so you're chayav b'chutz. Masavar patur, and Rabbi Yossi believes that you are patur. Aval b'dal v'heivarim, if you have four or five evarim, divrei akol chayav akol ever ve'ever. Everybody agrees that you're chayav on every ever. The way that Rabbi Yochanan explains the machloket here is that their understanding is that shalei means an ever. You must place an ever on the mizbeach in order to be chayav. If you have the entirety of the aver, you're going to be chayav. And so that means that in a scenario where you have multiple avarim, you're going to be chayav on each aver that you put on the mizbeach. That's according to Rabbi Yossi and according to Rabbi Shimon. The machloket is in a scenario where you have a portion of an aver that comes from bifnim. Now when you have a portion of an aver that comes from bifnim, over there there's a requirement to return it to the mizbeach. That requirement to return the mizbeach makes it ra'oi bifnim. Therefore, if you makrive b'chutz, you're going to be chayav. So that means the machlok between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon is whether you have to return that aver to the mizbeach. According to Rabbi Shimon, you have to return that partial Aver to the Mizbeach. Therefore, if you're Maktir at Bachot, you're going to be Chayab. According to Rabbi Yossi, that partial Aver does not need to be returned to the Mizbeach. And therefore, if you're Maktir at Bachot, you're not going to be Chayab. They both agree, if you have a partial Aver, be Bachot, you're not going to be Chayab for that partial Aver. Or at least, you're only going to be Chayab once. If you put on the other portion of the Aver, you're not going to be Chayab a subsequent time. Because there's no such thing as a partial Aver Bachut. Bifnim, a partial aver might have chashivut if you have to return it to the Mizbeach. And as Rashi points out over here, then the machlok between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon is parallel to the machlok we saw yesterday between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva as to whether you have two miutim or only one miut with regards to the need for shlemut. According to Rabbi Akiva, there's only one miut, and that's because only things that are shchutei chutz and akalat chutz have a requirement of shalem. But those things that are shchita bifnim and then Allah b'chutz, they do not have a requirement of shlemut because machzirin pukin lamizbeach. Rabbi Shmuel, on the other hand, had two miutim over there to say not only is it true by shchita b'chutz and Allah b'chutz, but it's also true by shchita bifnim and Allah b'chutz, you still need it to be shalem. And Rabbi Yossi over here agrees with that position of Rabbi Ishmael, which means that you believe shchita bifnim and Allah b'chutz do require shleimut, and according to Bayit Tosfot, that means that they both believe that when it comes to pukim, bifnim, if pukim are chasirim, you don't have to return them to the Mizbeach. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon will hold like his Rabbi, Rabbi Akiva, who says that you only have a miut for the case of shchita b'chutz and ala b'chutz, but by the case of shchita bifnim ala b'chutz, even if you put a chasir on the Mizbeach, you're chayav, because in the Mikdash, if they are pukim, chasirim, you have to be mafzir lehem b'mizbeach. And now there's a third view about their machloket, which is upliga de ula. This argues on ula's view over here. Damar ula, akol modim, bimukteri bifnim, shechasru. Everybody agrees when you have something on the pyre bifnim, that part of it was consumed and part of it popped off, ve'alu b'chutz, if you put it on the mizbeach b'chutz, shechayav. Everybody agrees you are chayav. That means that both Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon believe that there is a requirement to return a partial aver to the mizbeach. Lo nechlaku el b'mukterei b'chutz. The only machloket is about b'chutz. Shechasru ve'alu b'chutz. If you have an aver that was broken down into a smaller part that has something chaser to it, are you chayav? Mar savar patur. Rabbi Yossi believes you are patur. That is because shalem means that you have to have a full aver to be chayav. And therefore, since you don't have a full aver b'chutz, you're not going to be chayav. If it comes from bifnim, then since it has significance bifnim, you're also going to be chayav b'chutz. Umar Saber and Rabbi Shimon believes chayav, because he says that the threshold is a kazayit. What it means is shalem means you need a full kazayit. If you have a full kazayit, you're going to be chayav. If you have less than a kazayit, you're not going to be chayav. And therefore, every time you put a kazayit on the mizbeach b'chutz, you're going to be chayav. So that means that partial aver is going to make you chayav b'chutz, just like a whole aver that's going to make you chayav. And every kazayit that you put on is going to make you chayav. Now, according to this, Tosfot asks, why do you need a pasuk to exclude a chatzi kazayit? According to Rabbi Shimon. According to this view, Rabbi Shimon says, if it's a kazayit, you're chayav. If it's less than a kazayit, you're not chayav. Of course, less than a kazayit, you're not chayav. We don't find any issur in the Torah that less than a kazayit is chayav. So the Bali Tosfot say that Miesh Lomar, the Shema, came into Madrian and Pokim, Pachot me kazayit. Since Bifnim were Machzir, Pachot me kazayit, Havamina de Mechayet Bachutz. You would think that by Hala Bachutz, when it's done, that it has the same threshold as bifnim. Just like bifnim, it could be less than a kazayit, or less than a shiur, and it'd still be chayav. Maybe bachutz, the same thing applies. That's what the pasuk comes to be ma'ayit, according to Rabbi Shimon, that there is no such thing as a chatzik zayit or a chaser mi bachutz. It has to be a full kazayit, otherwise you're not going to be chayav. Ike damre, there's a second version of Amar Ula, hakol modim b'mukrei chutz shechasru. Everybody agrees by mukrei chutz, that have something missing, ve'alu b'chutz, and you put it outside, shehu patur, that you are patur, means that everybody agrees that the minimum threshold of shlemut is a full aver. They only argue about inside. Shechasru ve'alu b'chutz. Where it's missing something, you put it out b'chutz. Dema savar patur, umar savar chayav. That one holds that you are patur, and one holds that you are chayav. That is similar to the way that Rabbi Yochanan explained their machloket, that the machloket is bifnim, whether there's an obligation when something is less than shiur that pops off, that has to be replaced with mizbeach, That's machlok between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. Pliga avod ishmo, alishna kama de ula. And avod ishmo argues on the first lashon of ula, damar avod ishmo, kemain madrinan pukin. According to whom do we return pukim legabe amizbeach when they pop off? Kemain, dolok Rabbi Yossi. That's not like Rabbi Yossi. And according to the first version of ula, everybody agrees that when you have something that's chaser that comes off the mizbeach, you gotta put it back on. According to this, Avua Deshmuel says it's a machloki between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi. So according to Avua Deshmuel, since there's a differentiated opinion in Pokim Alagab Mizbeach between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi, that means that they argue about that. So in the second Lashon of Ula, it's clear that they argue on that point. And also in Lashon of Rabbi Yochanan, it's clear that they argue about that point. But when it comes to the first Lashon of Ula, where he says they don't argue on that point, then Avua Deshmuel clearly disagrees with that view of Ula, that you could say that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi both agree that Pukim, or partial Pukim, have to go back on the Mizbeach. Alright, now, for the final part of the Machloket in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, which is where do you have to bring something Bachutz in order to be a Chayav? So we saw that Rabbi Yossi believes that you have to put on a Mizbeach. So, Amar Avuna, my time with Rabbi Yossi, Dechtiv, Vayivin Noach Mizbeach LaShem. Because Noach built the Mizbeach LaShem. So you see that that's the basic standard of doing hakrava, even bachutz. And Rabbi Shimon says, even if it's put on a selah or heaven, you are chayav. The underlying assumption being here, and that's what Rashi notes, is that that which is mutar, b'shat heter bamot, is what's going to be asur, b'shat isra bamot. And Rabbi Yochanan, my time with Rabbi Shimon, so then what's the reasoning behind Rabbi Shimon? Says dichtiv, because he learns it out from the case of the parents of Shimshon. Because there it says, v'yikach manoach et di ha'izim et mincha, v'yala latzur la'ashem. Puts it on the stone or on the rock to be makrivit b'Hashem. So you see over there that outside the Mikdash, there is a no standard of Mizbeach. It can put on anything and be ma'aleh l'Hashem. V'irach nami aktiv, v'yiven Mizbeach l'Hashem. So then what does Rabbi Shimon do with the fact that by Noach it says Mizbeach l'Hashem? Ha'u guvha be'alma. That is simply, as Rashi says, k'dvodera kol aretz, she'noach l'ishtamesh v'lo l'kuvat Mizbeach. They did it for ease of use, not because it's an imperative. I mean, it's not a halachic necessity to have a mizbeach in order to bring a korban outside of the mikdash. It's simply that it's easier to put things on a mizbeach than it is to put on an oven or to put it on a selah. So they built the mizbeach for ease of use. That's the way Rashi explains it. I think you could explain goba ba'alma to mean that it was an enhancement. Noach wanted to do something better than simply just an oven or a selah, and therefore he built a mizbeach. But that's not the ikar adin. That's something that he did in order to enhance his korban l'Hashem. Wait a minute, doesn't Rabbi Yossi also have the case of Manoach? That was an unusual scenario. There was a malach involved with him, and the malach told him to do this, and therefore it was a one-time scenario. That is not the normal way that you deal with things, quotes, lemikdash. And it would make sense to say it's Horat Shaha, because Mishkan Shiloh is standing at that time, and it's a Zman Yisra Banamot. And it is a perpetual problem we find inside of Sefer Shoftim, that all these korbanot are being brought, mechutz and mikdash, it happens in Sefer Melachim as well. And you have to claim that these are situations of horat shah. Although Rabbi Shimon will disagree with that and say it was not a horat shah, because of the fact that there was no Isra Bamot, Bizman Mishkan Shiloh. And we're going to see that opinion in Rabbi Shimon later on at the end of the Masechta as to the exact time periods or definitions of when there's Isra Bamot. And that might all explain the difference in their opinions here as how to view the situation by Manoach. Rabbi Yossi believes that there was Isur Bamot because of Shiloh, says it was Horat Shah. Rabbi Shimon says there was no Isur Bamot because of Shiloh, looks at this as a precedent as to determine what is considered to be a proper Bama or Bamat Hayachid Bizman Heter HaBamot. V'ibay Teima, some want to suggest, Hachi Taima to Rabbi Shimon. This is the reasoning by Rabbi Shimon. Kedetanya, Rabbi Shimon Amer, the Pasuk says here, by Shkutei Chutz, V'zarak HaKoin at the Dam, Al Mizbach Hashem Petach Omoed. Victira Chelev L'Reach Nechoach L'Hashem. He says, I mean, it's only a requirement for Mizbach Petach Omoed. That's only true when it's actually in the Petach Omoed is the requirement for Mizbach, in the Mishkan or in the Mikdash. Okay, Mizbach B'Bama. That's not true by Bama. There's no requirement of Mizbach. The Fikach Elal Sela Ola Heaven Chayav. That's the reasoning of Rabbi Shimon. Now, the Gemara says, what do you mean Chayav? Yatsami Ba'ile. It shouldn't say that he's chayav for putting in a bama. Over here, Rabbi Shimon is trying to explain how you work with a bama. In that case, it means you're yotzei the mitzvah of the korban that you're bringing on the bama. So, achikamar, lefikach, v'shat, isra bamot, halal, selah, ol'evin, chayav.
So it's not the fikach, it's not coming to tell you if you do this on a bama that you are chayav b'shat heter bamot. It's coming to tell you that shetra heter bamot you'll be yotze. In a case of isra bamot, then if you do it on an evan or a seller, you're going to be a chayav, because that would have qualified during the zman of heter bamot. By Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, the requirement for mizbeach, does that require keren, the karnot of mizbeach, kevesh, a ram, Yisod of the Mizbeach, Ribua, and it being squared out. Mao Shiakvu Bama. Or they may akev when it comes to a Bama. Meaning, if you believe that there is a requirement of Mizbeach by a Bama, what are the qualifications of Mizbeach? Does it mean any Mizbeach? Or is it all the things that we learned early in the Masechta that are may akev the Mizbeach, do they also apply to Mizbeach of a Bama? Similarly, Rimir, Tanyo. We have a brighta that explains that to us. Keren, Vekevesh, Ribua, Yisod, Makvim, Bama Gdola. They are relevant by a Bama Gdola, which is a central Bama, like in Nov and Gibon, a central Bama, which is called a Bama Gdola. Ve'imakvim, Bama Ktana. But when it comes to a Bama Ktana, they are not Me'akev, and therefore the requirement of Mizbeach is only that, a Mizbeach, but not all the trappings that you have in the Mizbeach HaMishkan. So it's a more simplified form of Mizbeach, even if you require Mizbeach. It's not a full-fledged Mizbeach like the Mizbeach of the Mishkan. This question obviously is according to Rabbi Yossi, who has a requirement for Mizbeach. And therefore the conclusion is that according to his view that there is a requirement of Mizbeach, Peshat Heter Bamot, it does not require all these trappings, then so too when we have Zman Isra Bamot and Allah Bachutz, you will require Mizbeach, but you will not require all these trappings in order to be Chayav Bachutz. Okay, we're going to stop here on the bottom of Kufchet Amud Bet.